Hey, Travel Geniuses. So I'm popping in real quick before this episode starts because it's already edited and I don't want to have to redo the whole thing. But I wanted to ask you for some help. I am getting ready for 2022 and planning out some content, and I want to make sure that I'm providing the help that you need. Next year is predicted to be huge for travel in general, but for travel agents in particular, and I want to help make sure that you're ready to take that on and thrive next year. So I set up a Google Forms with 5 or 6 quick questions, basically just asking, what are you struggling with? What do you need help with? If you could wave a magic wand and magically fix one part of your business, what would it be? So if you have time, I would love it if you go to travelgeniuses.com/survey. Just fill out a couple quick questions, and you never know, the answers or questions that you submit to me might just end up in a future podcast episode. You're listening to the Travel Geniuses podcast for travel agents who love planning vacations for their clients, but wish the business side of things was just a little bit easier. This is episode 61, and I'm sharing my predictions on the future of social media and content marketing. Hey, Travel Geniuses, Christy here. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Did you like that? I changed it up. I know I say this all the time, but I'm very excited about this episode. And I know I say this all the time too, but I feel like this is a little different. Maybe I don't have a normal type of episode. With this episode, I am just going to share a prediction with you, or a suspicion I have about the future of content, or how you connect with and speak to your audience and your customers. I tend to get these feelings about things, and I don't always know exactly where they're coming from or what it means, or it's just like a instinct sort of whatever. But I've had this feeling about social media for a while where I'm just not enjoying it. Something's off. I feel like something's going to change. 99% of the time when I have a feeling like that, within a couple of years, everybody starts talking about it and it's suddenly a thing. But I generally start to get the feeling before that happens. So I've had this feeling for a while, and I just got an email from Tara McMullen, who is somebody I just really appreciate the way she thinks. She's very thoughtful about things. She's not about hustle. She's a thought leader in the online marketing space, I would say. But I have been very intentional about only following people, well, not following people who are just like, oh, you can only get 3 hours of sleep a night and you have to follow all these rules and this is the only way to do it. And I was getting really, just feeling really discouraged with following people like that. And so I made an intentional decision to seek out people who were talking about things differently and believed differently about things, and she is one of them. Anyway, I got an email from her recently that was like, oh, wow, okay, so I'm not the only one thinking this. And she kind of put into words some of the things that I was feeling but didn't know how to say. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. There's no step-by-step. There's no worksheet to follow after. But I do want to give you sort of a heads up on what I am pretty sure is going to be happening, and give you sort of a head start on how to start communicating better and be there when people start to consciously look for something different to listen to and pay attention to. But before I do that, I do want to talk a little bit about my website platform. I have gotten a few emails from people asking if I know anybody who can help them redesign their website or can help them get a website. And I was telling my husband, I just did this whole episode and I thought I was very clear saying I have a website platform, and maybe that wasn't as clear as I thought. It's very hard for me. I think I've mentioned this before, and I'm sharing this with you hoping that maybe you've struggled with this too. And when I learn something, I like to share it with you, hoping it will help you. So that's why I'm sharing it. But I really struggle sometimes with talking about what I do and inviting people to join me and inviting people to work with me because it feels salesy and I don't ever want anyone to think like my whole motivation is to get people to work with me because that's not the case. And I over-explained that in the last episode as well. I'm very sensitive to that and it just makes me nervous. And so I hold back a lot in telling people what I do. But I thought I was being so brave and so clear in the last episode. And obviously I wasn't. And I said something to my husband. And my husband was like, why don't you just tell people you build websites for travel agents? And if they need help with one, you can help. And coming from him, he's not in the entrepreneur world at all. So anyway, I just did want to take this opportunity to make it very clear that I have a website platform. Maybe you don't know what I mean when I say I have a website platform, but what I mean by that is that I do build websites for travel agents and I've found a way to do it where I can automate a lot of the process so I don't have to do a brand new from scratch design that takes weeks and weeks and therefore costs thousands of dollars, but I can still provide you a site that looks very much like it was custom designed and it's designed to convert your visitors into customers and it's designed to turn the right kind of visitors into customers. So you're not getting people that aren't a good fit for you, that don't want the kinds of vacations that you love to plan, that aren't willing to pay a fee, all of that stuff. So I've designed them all to help you grow your business. And if you need a new website or are just starting out and want a website, I would love to help make that happen for you. So I am tweaking a few things to prepare for next year. So there might be a few tiny things that change, but if you want to learn more, you can always email me, Christy@TravelGeniuses.com or visit TravelGeniusWebsites.com and you can learn more there. And then of course, if you still have questions, let me know. Now I do want to tie this back to you because like I said, when I learn something, I want to share it with you so you can benefit from my mistakes. Now I thought it was very clear when I said I have a website platform for travel agents, that you would know that that meant that I build websites for travel agents. And clearly that wasn't the case. And I think there are probably a lot of times when you do the same thing, especially, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with calling yourself a travel advisor. I understand the distinction between travel advisor and travel agent. You are an advisor to your clients. If you're not being an advisor, then you're not doing it right. However, not everybody knows what you mean when you say travel advisor. Even though we've been using it for years, you think everybody knows when you say I'm a travel advisor that they know that you help people book amazing vacations, help people plan and book amazing vacations, but they don't necessarily know that. If somebody came to you and said, I'm a car advisor, would you think that they were selling cars? Personally, I would probably think that they maybe advise car dealerships or car manufacturers or something. So I think it would be really helpful for you to look at your messaging and make sure that when you're posting on social media and when you are talking to people out in the public, that you are very clear about what you do and make it very obvious. If somebody says, what do you do? Oh, I'm a travel advisor. Maybe instead say, oh, I help design vacations for families or whatever your niche is. That's another benefit of having one. Say something like that, but just next time it comes up and next time you're posting something on social media or wherever you post, really think about, am I being super clear? Remember that game you might have played it in elementary school, or they do it as like team building exercises where you have to explain to an alien who has never been to Earth before how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you can't say, take a knife and spread it because they don't know what a knife is and all of that stuff. So explain it like it's an alien, or like they say on Reddit and other places, explain it like I'm five. Make sure when you're explaining what you do and inviting people to work with you that it's so clear that a five-year-old would understand it. So there's a bonus lesson for this episode. All right, now let's get into the topic of this episode finally, right? I mentioned before that I have had this feeling that something was changing and things just weren't working the way they had been as far as social media goes. And for maybe the last year, I just have not really enjoyed my social media time, and it's increased exponentially in the last month or so when Instagram did the whole announcement that they were going to put an emphasis on Reels and basically give more weight to Reels. So if you want to grow your audience and if you want people to see your stuff, you have to do Reels, was the message that most people heard. And not an Instagram expert, but I have heard from several people who have followings of like 10,000 or more, sometimes 250,000, where they'll get like 400 views on a post on an audience of 10,000 or more. So that kind of exacerbated it, and I'll get into that a little more. But I've just been feeling like it's not as enjoyable as it used to be. It's not something I want to do. I definitely do spend way too much time on Instagram and have even deleted it from my phone sometimes, but I still need it for messages and stuff. So it doesn't stay off completely, but I will sometimes check in the morning, delete the app, then install it again later in the day, check any messages, zone out for a little bit in the evening, and then delete it again. Just because I've been very aware that I'm just scrolling and I'm not really enjoying my time there anymore. Before, I follow a lot of artists, I follow a lot of business thought leaders, and I don't know what they'd be called, like thoughtful people about, like, people who are very thoughtful about human psychology. Destiny Ann would be an example. I don't have little kids at home anymore, but she is I think she calls it gentle parenting. I don't remember, but so insightful and so smart. And I just love learning about how people think and how better to relate to people and all of that. So I follow a bunch of people like that. And I use it as more of an educational and inspiration tool. Yes, I enjoy a funny reel, but mostly it's artists that inspire me and give me ideas for things I can try with my very limited skills in painting. Thought leaders who make me see a situation differently or give me a tool on how to handle something. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD. I've had it my whole life. It's not like it's new, but I didn't know I had it because I'm going to do an episode about that, but this is not the one, so I'm not going to get into it. But I've been following a lot of ADHD accounts and learning more about things that I've always beaten myself up for and thought were broken about me, and discovering, oh, it's ADHD. That's what's causing it. So that's how I use it. And it's just become just not the place it used to be anymore. And I mentioned the Reels thing. Now all these people who maybe don't enjoy doing silly dances or being silly in general, which I would call myself among them, now because Instagram has made this announcement that Reels are so important, they feel like they have to make these silly Reels in order for them to grow their audience or even reach the people who have already said, hey, I want to hear from you, in order to reach them. And it's very clear that they're not into it. It's not their skill set. So it's awkward. I don't enjoy it. It's not useful. They're just silly and not always funny if that's not their personality. Some of you I know, clearly you enjoy it and you've done a great job and I enjoy them. But if that's not your thing and you're doing it because Instagram says you have to for the algorithm, it's very clear to me and it makes me not enjoy the app as much. Another thing that I think is happening is people have learned how to game the system and they've learned all the things you need to do to increase your reach and help people find you, I guess, on Instagram. So there's a lot of content that's just being pushed for content's sake. You have to post in your feed once a day. You have to do this many stories a day. You have to do this many reels. So people are pushing out content that's not really that helpful. It's not deep. It's just made because they have to do it for the algorithm. And I think those two things combined are what's making me really dislike it now. Like I did before the Reels thing. Now the Reels thing just kind of pushed it over the edge. And I hardly even want to go on Instagram anymore. So that's the backstory on kind of this feeling and what I think is causing it and what I think is going to be making the shift happen. And real quick before I move on, the kind of content that I'm talking about, the things that I don't enjoy are silly questions. And I want to say that I'm not against fun. I really am not. I know it's going to sound like it in this episode. I love a funny reel. TikTok is like my kryptonite. I cannot go on there because I will be up until 3 a.m, lying in bed, trying not to laugh out loud and wake up my husband because it's so funny. And I get down these rabbit holes and I can't stop. And I'm dying laughing. So I do like fun, but I don't like forced fun. I've mentioned this before when I talk about marketing personalities with Britt Kolo, and her thing is finding marketing that fits with your personality. So not trying to force yourself into a box that somebody says you have to be in to feed the algorithm or whatever it is. Do things that feel good to you. And she says all the time, when you don't feel good, your audience doesn't feel good. So if you are doing something that feels awkward and uncomfortable, and I'm meaning this differently than trying something new, but something that, like for me, doing some silly nonsense dance and being never, you, first of all, there's not enough alcohol in Vegas to make me do something like that. And second of all, you would know right away if somebody put a gun to my head, it made me do it. You would know immediately that she's not really into that and it's really awkward and you'd be embarrassed for me, trust me. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, is doing it when it's not authentic. So keep that in mind when I mention some of these things, but feeling like you have to post every day and having those posts not be quality posts, just posting for the sake of posting, maybe using something that your consortia or another organization you're working with gives you like a bunch of posts and they automatically post for you or whatever it is, using those just to fill up the space so that you can say you post it every day, or asking questions. I had signed up for a program where they gave you all these prompts, which is fine. But the woman who did it was very bubbly and outgoing and fun, and I'm not. So the questions, while they worked, and yes, I got some engagement, I didn't feel good about it. And I sometimes people that know me in real life would respond, and I'm like, how are you responding? That doesn't even sound like me. It was just awkward and uncomfortable, and I didn't like it. Again, want to just say it's great for some people. It just didn't work for me because her personality was much different than mine. So it just didn't fit. So it's things like that, asking these silly questions that you would never ask in real life, just because you need to get people to like and respond to the post in order to get the algorithm to show your stuff to more people. So that's what I'm talking about here. Again, I'm going to say this a million times because I don't want anybody leaving this thinking, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do reels, or maybe I shouldn't do these silly posts because Christy said it's not good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the things that aren't authentic and that you're doing not because you want to and because you're excited about it, but you're doing it because Instagram said, if you want people to see your stuff, this is what you have to do. Okay, so why is this happening? Not an expert, I don't know for sure, but I suspect that first of all, it's just a natural shift. Somebody in marketing or whatever will find something that works, and then suddenly everybody's doing it, and eventually people get tired of it and it doesn't work anymore. So I think that's part of it. It's just a natural shift. And I think that's what I was feeling a year or two ago. And it's just getting worse and becoming more obvious. I also think that the pandemic and all the things we've been dealing with in the last couple of years have caused us to sort of look for ways to numb our brains or find things to just mindlessly be able to consume without having to think much about it, because there were so many things, deep things to deal with and think about and try to figure out. So I think we were just naturally looking for things to help us not be stressed, not be worried, not have all these deep, heavy thoughts. And now that things are starting to open up again, I'm not saying COVID's over or any of that stuff is over, but things are much more open. We have more options on what we can do, and we're ready to sort of wake up and start experiencing life again on a deeper level. And so these quick, mindless things aren't satisfying us anymore. We're ready for something more. In Tara's email, the point she was making was everybody says that humans have short attention spans, and she's arguing against that and saying, maybe we just want something worth paying attention to. She experimented with this and decided to only create content that she felt good about, create less content, but make it deeper, more meaningful content, longer form content. And she mentioned that she was nervous that her engagement would drop, that people wouldn't appreciate the content and wouldn't engage with it as much. But she said that those posts have been saved, shared, and commented on more than anything she's created for social media. And a side benefit to her, not only did it result in more newsletter subscribers, Instagram followers, all the metrics that we've been told we need to pay attention to, but it also gave her more time to learn, to read books that she's interested in, and invest in her business the way she wants to, because she's not scrambling to make all this content just to feed the Instagram algorithm gods. And that just kind of brings it full circle, doesn't it? It's not just about your audience and your customers, but by you being more thoughtful and intentional about the content that you're creating, it frees you up inside your business to be more thoughtful and intentional about what you're spending your time on. It opens you up to go deeper and learn more and spend time on the things that are meaningful to you versus having to be on this hamster wheel of constantly trying to create content. It's really about quality over quantity, right? In the content that you're creating for your audience, giving them less content, but more quality content, more thoughtful content, more useful content. Funny content is fine as long as it's quality funny content and not just 10 reels a day when maybe one of them is funny and the rest are not. Which I know is scary because the algorithm says, the algorithm's the boss of all of us, and it says that the more content you produce, the more people you will reach and the more engagement you will get. But what if that didn't matter? What if you were okay with quality over quantity when it comes to your followers and your engagement as well? I know that these metrics are hard to not think about, meaning it's hard to not have a goal of, say, 10,000 followers or more and think that people will take you seriously then, and that's like this big goal. But do you want 1,000 followers if they're not really following you because they want to work with you or because they like the content that you shared? Think about engagement. If you get 100 likes and 50 comments on a post, that can be exciting. But does it really matter to your bottom line if that post is just asking them, do they prefer Lucky Charms or Fruit Loops for breakfast? It's fun. And those types of questions, sometimes people just can't help but answer, but it doesn't really do anything to grow your business or showcase you as an expert and somebody who understands them and what they need on a vacation. I'd much rather you have a post with 10 likes and 5 comments from people who are continuing the conversation, asking questions, thanking you for providing useful information, people who are interested in you and what you do versus just participating in a silly poll. And now, of course, I'm suddenly getting very anxious that a bunch of social media marketing experts are going to come at me saying why all this stuff is important, why it's important that you post a poll that a bunch of people will comment on. And I, on a logical level, I understand all that. But on a gut level, I stand behind this. I said it and I'm not walking it back. I really believe in my gut and all my instincts are screaming to me that things are going to change. We're at a tipping point, and I think people are starting to recognize the games that are being played and not be satisfied with that anymore. I am not a social media expert. I will never say I'm a social media expert. What I am, though, is a social media user. Just ask my activity report I get every week from my iPhone. So I am seeing this with myself, and usually almost all the time when I see that happen, it's not very long that things really start to change and other people start to recognize it too. All right. Like I said, in this episode, I don't have like a checklist you can print out and follow or any sort of worksheet or anything really concrete that you can change right now and suddenly be creating a different kind of content. What I do have, though, is just a exercise that you can do and just something to think about as you're consuming content over the next weeks and months to help you, A, recognize that maybe this change is happening and maybe you're feeling it too and just haven't been super aware of it, and also get some clues on the type of content that people are going to be looking for and that's going to be more meaningful to them going forward. All I want you to do is start paying attention to the content that you're consuming and how you feel about that. As you're sorting through the emails in your inbox or scrolling social media or watching YouTube videos, whatever it is, podcast episodes, anything that catches your attention and stops your scroll, gets you to stop and read, and then not only did you read it, but you feel good and inspired after you've read it as well. Make a note of that. I actually have I use the notes app in my phone a lot, and I will copy email newsletter subject lines that made me open. Sometimes I open it and I'm disappointed in the content. I might make a note of that as well. I try to pay attention to content that I am saving on social media, on Instagram. I'm sure you already know this. You can save different posts. So I have lots of different categories, crafts I want to make, paintings I want to try, and business tip ideas that I find interesting and want to be able to refer to later. And then I have one called To Ponder, which are things that were just super thoughtful that I want to be able to reference later, or when I have more time and in a different headspace, I can go back and really think about that and, you know, think about how that post that I read will change my outlook on something. So that's another way to do this. Just save things that you found super interesting and entertaining as well. Like I said, I'm not anti-fun. Social media and your business, marketing, all of that should involve fun as well. So anything that you just thought was really funny or enjoyed for whatever reason, just make note of those. And bonus points if you make note of and think about why that stood out to you, and also how it made you feel about the person or company that posted it too. Did it make you want to work with them? Did it make you want to learn more from them? You see them more as an expert? All of that will give you clues to what your audience is going to be looking for and what will resonate with them too. Because I promise, if there's something that you're enjoying and you're really starting to appreciate more, they're feeling the same way. And you can use all of this for inspiration for your own content, for your clients, even if, and especially if it's not from the travel industry. I'll give you a couple of examples that I've found recently. One was a coach, a life coach, I think, or a coach for life coaches, I think is what she is. Anyway, not anybody in the travel industry. I follow her because she is funny and fun, but also very insightful and gives really good tips. And even though she's coaching life coaches, I've learned some things from her. But what stood out to me recently was I noticed that her posts in her feed are a lot of them, or some of them, have like, it's just a white background and bold black text. There's no picture behind it. It's not a picture. And I had been thinking that you have to like find a picture that's going to stop somebody from scrolling and then hope that they're going to get from the picture what you're posting about, or figure out a way to put text on the picture so that they can read the text, whatever. It was just very complicated. And I liked just the clean, simple design that she used. I wouldn't even call it a design, just the white background, black text, and thought, oh, maybe I could do that a little bit. And that might make it a lot easier for me to post on social media. If you're following me there, I apologize, but I hardly ever post because whatever, there's a lot of reasons. So when I say I'm not a social media marketing expert, I mean it. But so that was one. And that's something that I saw that I thought I could use. Another one recently is a lady who teaches people how to make handmade books. And she had a series of posts teaching people how to get better pictures of their handmade books. So she had like lighting ideas, whatever it was, just some really simple, easy ways to take a picture of your handmade book that you've just done and have it look as good as it can, which on the surface doesn't seem like that would be something. She doesn't teach photography classes. She teaches how to make handmade books. But by making sure that her students know how to take pictures of their books that aren't dark and blurry, that instead are bright and well lit and showcase all the details and make their friends go, oh my gosh, you made that? That's amazing. How did you do that? Well, I took this class. It will make people more interested in taking her courses as well. So again, not travel related at all, but what if you gave a couple of tips on how to get better vacation photos? Talk about posing people or lighting or the rule of thirds. I'm giving some photography terms here, but explain all that in lay people terms. And then when your clients go on vacation, wouldn't it be better if they have amazing vacation photos versus pictures that are out of focus or dark or the subjects are really far away and tiny and like just a bunch of nonsense in the rest of the picture, something that's going to stop their friends scroll and maybe start a conversation about where did you go? How did you choose to go there? And maybe your name comes up. So there are lots of ideas you can get from people outside of the industry. But the point is just pay attention, be paying attention to what you are paying attention to. And those are huge clues about A, what's going to be changing, and B, what your clients are paying attention to as well. Okay, I know there were some big ideas in this and some kind of abstract ideas and thoughts, but if you've been feeling this too, this sort of unease and just weird feeling about social media, maybe not enjoying it as much as you have been, I'd love to hear from you. I know I'm not alone in this feeling, but I really want to know how many of you have been feeling it as well. And if the thought of focusing more on quality over quantity in your business, not just in marketing, but in all areas of your business, including the clients you work with and the work you do, if that resonates with you and you are ready to get off of that hamster wheel of never-ending to-dos that never seem to help you make any progress in your business, then I want to extend an invitation to you to join Insiders. It's actually waitlist only right now. I will be opening it up for new members soon, but I'm working with somebody to rebuild the program from the ground up to make sure that I'm providing as much value to you as possible and helping you make huge impacts and changes in your business, but also in a way that is very doable and doesn't contribute to that hamster wheel. We're focusing on quality over quantity in Insiders as far as the content goes as well. So if that sounds interesting to you at all, I will have more information soon, but please go ahead and go to travelgeniuses.com/insiders, sign up for the waitlist, and I will be in your inbox soon with more information about how to sign up, what's going to be involved in all of that. But I'm really excited about these changes and can't wait to work with you in there. All right, that's all I have for you for this episode. If you found it helpful, please share it with your other industry friends. And of course, I'm always happy if you are able to leave a review on your favorite podcast player. I only use Apple, so I should look to see if Spotify and Google Play, I don't even know if they allow you to leave reviews because everybody just tells you to leave a review on iTunes. So if they do, I would love it if you would leave a review. It helps the show grow and helps other travel agents find it and benefit from it as well. I will be back soon with another episode. And until then, have a great week.